Hey, man.
What's going on?
Have you ever heard of Satan?
Are you really going to come in this hot? Are you serious?
Yeah, let's talk about the devil.
Oh. I'm sweating right now. I get nervous.
This episode's coming out at the beginning of the Christmas season.
So Merry Christmas.
Say Merry Christmas. Let's talk about Satan. You have the OnStar button. They give you a toe.
You have the DawnStar button.
It takes you to hell.
You know what? I don't need another job, but I do want to go interview for some jobs. And they're like, what's this gap in your resume? But yeah, I was in exile.
We're in the collection with the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Is this before Hobby Lobby stole them? The Emperor of Babylon was a Pisces, right?
Things I learned last night.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
I've heard of him.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing.
I've seen some of his work. Not a fan. You know?
Not impressed.
You know, we just have different goals in mind, I think.
I gotta say, probably my least favorite person. Entity? Being.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. You always say, you want me to put my degree to work. Here we are. Let's talk about Satan.
Do you
want to
do a theological? Here's the thing. I want to do another Little Caesars. I want to do something that's not controversial. And instead, you're going to do...
Satan's not controversial.
Instead, you're going to do theology.
You told me. You said, why don't you put your
degree
to work?
You told me.
Why don't you put your degree to work more?
You know who I think had this idea?
You're not even using it.
I think
it.
Satan whispered this idea in your ear. All right? Trying to tear down this show.
Talk about me. You guys are getting a lot of views. You should talk about me next.
Make it about me. Make it about me. That's good. That's how he talks.
Oh, man.
Okay, so we're legitimately going to talk about Satan. You're not going to spend this to be like, it's this band in the 80s or whatever.
No, Satan's an alien.
Do you think the aliens have theology of their own?
I mean, if they exist, I'm sure they do.
Okay.
So
we're actually gonna get into it. Satan.
Yeah, Satan, also known as the devil, also called Lucifer,
aka.
Aka. Here's the thing. A lot of what when you think of Satan, let's do this. When you think of Satan, what do you think?
Well, do you want me to do? You want me to play? I'll play into your narrative. Here we go.
Sweet, thanks.
What I think of is like the little red guy on your shoulder, you know?
Yeah.
And the little pitchfork and the tail.
Yeah, he's got the little tail, the spike.
Yeah.
The hooves.
Yeah.
The horns.
Yeah, you could honestly say anything. I'd honestly, yeah.
The wings. Yeah. The bat wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sports car. The steroid veins. Yeah.
Now, so there's this picture of Satan that we have today that's like...
some red dude.
Where
yeah.
did it come from?
Yeah.
And there's the picture of not just what he looks like,
but also hell.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's a whole other thing.
We won't get into hell. We're not going to hell today. But then there's also this just who he is by like what he does and his role and all this stuff that's like, can't really find it in the Bible.
Okay.
So I thought it'd be cool. Let's just talk about the history of Satan. Where did Satan come from? So Satan was born.
Is this from his Wikipedia page?
Yeah. They got his birth date. 47,000 million AD BC. AD BC.
This bro isn't even born yet.
No. Okay. So here's the thing. The first time you see a character that in the Bible you could relate to
the
Satan
devil is the garden.
Is the beginning, the very beginning with the serpent. Serpent never named this guy. And he's just a tempter. He comes in, he tempts him, and then he just disappears from the story. And then throughout the rest of the Hebrew Bible, you don't have much reference to a Satan. There's a lot of false gods and other gods. Baal is pretty prevalent.
Mentioned.
Asheroth is pretty prevalent. But you don't see Satan very often. And when you do, it's interesting because that Hebrew word that's being used is the word Satan, which we pronounce Satan, but it just means enemy or accuser.
Yeah.
And so it's not used to define a person. And we know that because it's actually used every time we see it in the Hebrew Bible with a definite article to say this is something defining the role of the person, not the name of the character in that story.
So the name is not Satan. It's not a proper name.
It's not Satan. It's not a proper name.
It's a description.
Yeah, it's a description of his role, of what he does. And so you actually see in the Job story.
Because in the story, he's the ancillary.
I hate who you are.
I was making sure we got our terms right, you know?
So Job, in the story, in the book of Job, if you've read the book of Job and you didn't have a lot of background on Satan or the Hebrew language, you probably would be really confused at the beginning of this book. Because in the very beginning of this book, Satan comes to God in the council. So it says God was with his council and Satan shows up and Satan says, hey, I don't think Job really believes in you. Let me make his life pretty rough and we'll see if he still believes in you. And God's like, sure, go ahead. Which is like, like no joke.
Which is like, all right.
Pretty tough.
Yeah.
It's the oldest book we have in the Bible. It was the first one written like by date. So the world was very different then is one thing we just have to acknowledge. And so their view on who God was and what a good God would be was much
Job
different.
Is the first one we got.
Yeah, it was the first book. And so you have to acknowledge that before you approach that book to begin with. But you also, looking at that, you have to realize that the Satan who comes in this story is a person who's filling a role of
the enemy,
the accuser, the tempter. He's a person who's a part of this divine council that God has, which the Bible references a couple of times, which is just this group of basically angelic beings who help God see forth his mission.
Yeah.
And for some reason, there's a guy in it who's supposed to be the enemy.
His whole role is just like, yeah, let's mess this up. Yeah.
That's
love what you're trying to do.
Make it a little tricky.
Hate what you're trying to do. So
kind of, which is weird. And it doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's what's being explained here. It's not that the devil just shows up and is like, hey, this guy doesn't really believe
me. I don't like Job.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not what happened.
Why? Yeah. I don't know. I want to fight him. Okay.
And so it's still difficult to chew on in our Western minds. Cause you're like, well, why did God say okay to that? But it's easier than the devil coming to God and saying, and God being like, sure, do what you want, man. It was a guy who was fulfilling a role that God had given this.
So they're just going around the council. God's like, all right, guys, when
any
it comes
ideas?
To Job, I was thinking about like doing some good stuff. What do you guys think? And everyone else is like, we should do some good stuff, you know? great. Okay. Good stuff. Great. Okay. And then you just hear, guys, and everyone just, yes, the enemy.
First of all,
I was thinking
don't
of doing
love
some,
that name for my job.
I was thinking of doing some bad things to him. It's an interesting point. Continue.
Yeah, flesh this out for us a little bit.
Yeah, I just really want to make his life as tough as possible and just see if he still likes you.
Yeah. That's kind of interesting. We haven't done that yet.
We hadn't thought of that. We haven't.
I mean, so far, it's all been good. So,
motion passed. All right. Like what?
Kinda. Which is really weird. It is really weird. It's tough to deal with. But that's the story we get, right?
Okay.
Other than that, there's a couple quick passes to.
Are there other stories? Do the other gods at this time have councils?
There's not a reference to it.
Okay.
So you can't say for sure. I mean, there does seem to be, you might be able to say that they are at least in collusion together. Maybe.
I don't mean like with God, with creator God.
Yeah. There's evidence that maybe, and it'd be very circumstantial. Like it'd be tough to say for sure, but you could say maybe that these other like
spiritual beings,
they
gods.
Were working together at a purpose. But there's nothing clear. But anyways, that's really all you get in the Old Testament. A couple of references to there being some sort of spiritual enemy who is deceiving us, and then also in some occasions, a member of God's council who is his role is to
deceive
for the purpose of apparently like testing people is what it seems like. And then the Jews go into exile in Babylon. And so this is this is an interesting period. So after what the events of the Old Testament, mm-hmm. and then there's the New Testament, there's a period of a couple hundred years referred to as the intertestamental period, which really fades further past the time of when the events of Jesus happened, but it's just the time in between the writings.
What's this 7-year gap in your resume? That's my intertestamental period. I see you worked at Subway, and then there's just a few years here where there's not a lot there.
Yeah. Yeah, I was in exile in Babylon. It's pretty horrible.
You know what? I don't need another job, but I do want to go interview for some jobs. And I'm like, what's this gap in your resume? But yeah, I was in exile. Yeah, don't worry about that. Yeah, that was a tough time. Learned a lot of it. Well, you know, there was an enemy, and you know, I wouldn't call him enemy. That's not a name.
His role was
to be my enemy.
Yeah, I think God put him there.
If I was really to break it down, I think he's part of a council. And they're like, okay,
I think we're going to pass on this role.
You know, when I realized it, I was in the ocean. My plane had just gone down. I was in the ocean, and I thought, this is the enemy, you know?
But wait, here's the thing. What I learned from that is my biggest weakness is actually my strength. And so...
Yeah, I don't see you writing that down. You should write that down. You should tell your supervisor that. Just write, biggest weakness is biggest strength.
His biggest strength, just, actually.
Yeah. I'll write it for you.
So
writing it upside down, like, what is this, macaroni grill? You're writing your name on the table. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with too many advertisements during the Tillin podcast? Have we got good news for you? Our patrons enjoy ad-free experience, and they get early access to content, behind-the-scenes stuff, exclusive merchandise, and access to a private Discord channel where we all are in it, our producers and the hosts. So if you'd like to be a patron today and solve that problem, why don't you text Tillin to 66866?
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year is interesting because everybody's kind of coming out of their winter hibernation and wanting to go do stuff. And if you're anything like me, that's not great. Not because you don't like your family or you don't like your friends or anything like that, but because your social battery drains pretty easily and you need more time to recharge than a lot of other people in your life. Last summer, I was not great at this. I let myself do way too much and I got really, really drained and it was a rough experience all around. Luckily, I've got a therapist who does a great job helping me set my boundaries and keeping me accountable to my boundaries, especially in areas like this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, it's flexible, it's convenient, and it fits literally any schedule. It's really easy to sign up. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tillin, TILLN. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
So during their exile,
yeah.
What happened? Babylon came, took over, and was like, "You're Babylon now." And they're like, "No, we're not." And they're like, "Yes, you are."
They're like, "Yeah, you are."
Yeah, you are. And so it was really rough. It was a really, really rough period. They displaced a lot of people, destroyed all the temples, destroyed a lot of homes and everything. And just is what empires do, you know, took over and like, you're one of us now. Mm-hmm. And so it was a really, really tough period. And when you look at a lot of the writings in that period, some very interesting things happened, like cultural shifts within Judaism. One of the biggest ones, two of the biggest ones. We'll look at two of them. The first one, there is this shift of there is an evil power at work.
Okay.
That had never really been much of a point in Judaism. There was the serpent, there was other evil spirits out there, but they didn't really care. They're like, we worship the God above all of them. We don't give a crap. But now in this intertestamental period where they're in exile in Babylon, all of a sudden
the enemy becomes a bigger player.
Yeah, the enemy is really important because they're living in this situation where they're living underneath an enemy. And a lot of them politicize that, and the enemy is now the emperor. And now Babylon. And so, especially when you look at a lot of the latter prophets and a lot of some of the Psalms and stuff, you hear all throughout that Babylon is a word used a lot as evil, because in their eyes, that was the picture of evil in the world. And when they got taken over by them, it just got amplified even more.
I'm going to name my kid Lon. Like Lonnie.
Lonnie Myers?
Yeah, this is little baby Lon.
Lonnie Zamora.
This is little baby Lon. Baby Lon? Babylon? Baby Lon?
I hate you.
Babylon. Baby Lon.
I didn't even pick up on that. Okay, so
I know you didn't. You were like, Lonnie Zamora? Lonnie Zamora?
What was I like?
Lonnie Zamora?
I hate you. So.
Hey, don't get mad at me. Get mad at the enemy.
The other big shift was the nation of Babylon. They were they believed in Zoroastrianism, which was a big religion.
Which is
that
a big word for astrology. So, so the emperor of Babylon was a Pisces, right? So, and we all know how they are, you know. And so it just got pretty crazy.
And
he didn't have bloggers to explain what was going on back then.
And in that faith, there was a chief enemy who was rebelling against the chief good. And they were described as the light and the dark, and they were at war with each other. And over the course of their time in exile, you see their teachings start to kind of adopt that view with Christianity.
Do they adopt the view, or do they start to use that framework to discuss their view?
I mean, it probably began more like that, but over time it began to morph to where it was like, oh no, there is a evil God and there is a good God and they're at war with each other.
Interesting.
And they started, and you could tell when you're reading a lot of the intertestamental texts, which aren't biblical texts, but they're extra biblical stuff that we still have. They were in, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank right now. The
Cleveland. So they found them.
We found them in Cleveland. The Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah.
They were in the collection with the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Is this before Hobby Lobby stole them?
Before Hobby Lobby stole them.
Hobby Lobby was like, we didn't steal them. We bought them. That's different.
We bought them from a guy who stole them. But we bought them. He's the bad guy.
Yeah.
He's
the enemy.
You might call him Satan.
We're the good guys.
You start to see this shift in the writing about him, as if there's this powerful God. And in their references back to the story in Genesis, to Job, to other references throughout Isaiah and Ezekiel, you start to see there's this narrative that begins to arrive within Judaism of this is the enemy. It's no longer a enemy. It's no longer another spiritual being that has rebelled from God, but it is this chief of enemies.
Interesting. Okay.
And it appears that in this period also, there's this story in Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah. I could be wrong on that.
Isaiah. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Where is often the narrative where we get the idea that Satan fell from heaven.
Yeah.
And in that it says something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing, but it says the Dawn Star fell and brought down a tenth of the stars with him, and is cursed, basically. The interesting thing about that passage is the beginning of that passage says basically an oracle about Babylon. And so they're saying, we're talking about Babylon falling. Mm. But at some point they read that into them, and maybe partially because of their experience in Babylon, where they painted Babylon as the devil, started to say, that's a story of Satan falling from heaven and losing his place.
Okay.
Which Dawnstar, interesting little tidbit here. Dawnstar is actually Venus. And so they called Venus the Dawnstar because it rose with the sun.
Yeah.
And the Latin translation of that phrase was Lucifer, because Lucifer means brings the light. So that's where we got the name Lucifer from.
So Dawnstar is not just the button in your Chevy car that you click whenever you need help. You're saying Dawnstar is in the Bible.
Yeah. Dawnstar.
Dawnstar.
Dawnstar. No, you have the OnStar button. They come, they give you a toe.
You have the Dawnstar button.
It takes you to hell.
And let me warn you, they're pretty close to each other. So it's like you have a flat tire, like, oh man. Ah, you know?
Be careful.
Isn't that the dilemma? You know?
What's really interesting is now you fast forward into the New Testament and you start to see a lot of these cultural changes start to happen.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the Old Testament, the devil's rarely referenced. The Satan's rarely referenced.
So you think that it could have started as them trying to speak to the culture using their... I'm not making a joke. I'm going with you.
I think so.
Framework. And then what happened is that they got themselves, they got... taken over.
Yeah.
By that ideology.
I think that's accurate. And you look at a lot of the letters and it seems like they had a very similar view of who
the devil was.
The devil was and how this sort of spiritual warfare worked.
Okay.
Which is very interesting. And I feel like we need to make an addendum real quick before we get into where things get more interesting. Anyways, the Bible is really old, and there's this sort of belief in Christianity that the Bible is like exactly the way it was intended to be.
I knew you were going to make this controversial.
I'm not making it controversial. I'm trying to find the right words to say this.
You don't work at a church anymore. Just go for it.
No, I want to. I'm kidding. Here's the reality of this. The Bible was written by people a long time ago for people who lived a long time ago.
And trying to apply it literally with everything parallel to our current civilization just doesn't work.
It doesn't work because we don't live in that world. It's like trying to tell a kid today about Blockbuster. They're not going to get it. We're in the same position, but thousands of years removed. We don't understand that culture. On top of that,
the average lay person doesn't understand the culture. Historians understand it better than we do, but they don't. Yeah. They weren't in the culture.
Get it? Yeah. But even more than any of that, this didn't happen within a vacuum. Yeah. There was a world outside of the Bible and outside of the people who wrote the Bible, and that influenced them. And the way they saw the world is evident in the things that they wrote. This is why the picture. A lot of people are like, well, the Bible says God is the same yesterday and today and forever, but why is he so different in the Old Testament than he is from the New Testament? Well, it's because of the intertestamental period. A lot of things happened, and the culture shifted, and people's view of God really changed. The writers of the Bible had one view of God in the Old Testament, and they had a different view of God in the New Testament, and they wrote that into their writings. Does that mean that God is different between those periods? Absolutely not. But the way they talked about him changed. And so if you're not cognizant of that, you're going to miss those things. And so I think it's really important.
And it's also easy to just go, well, this is all doesn't make sense. Then.
You're also going to be like, yeah, it's trash. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff where
there's a lot of text and stuff that isn't in the Bible that we have.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that's outside that has.
And then not even related to faith. I'm saying like from different time periods, we can go, oh, here's what they were believing and speaking about.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So
all that to say,
the Bible's an important book, but people wrote into it their cultural views.
And if you want to accept Jesus in your heart right now, we're going to lead you in a prayer.
But anyways, so to say that, the New Testament view of the devil also
shifted.
It doesn't look like he does in the Old Testament.
For sure.
It is now
a person.
An individual, enemy. A character in the story. You see him show up in the desert with Jesus and tempt Jesus. You see reference to him all throughout the letters saying we need to avoid the temptations of the devil. I don't think it's consequential. I think whether it's a group of enemies or it's an individual enemy or it's the spirit of rebellion within all of us, it doesn't really matter. There's something deceiving us is the point of the story. Who that character is not consequential. But you can see the culture shifting the view. Now, over time, after the Bible was written, you start to see a lot of other things start to happen.
When does he become the red guy? We're going to get there?
Yeah. So in the Middle Ages, something really interesting happened. In a lot of plays, somewhere along the line, it's hard to pinpoint where it happened, but somewhere along the line, a dude in a red suit started to be the comedic relief in a play. And he would, over time, turn into more of this devilish character. And they started giving him hooves. They started giving him tails and wings and like horns. But he was the comedic relief. Like his whole.
They kept adding stuff to him.
Yeah,
they just kept, he's like a Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, and he would just kind of dance around stage.
He'd come out and be like, "Hair."
Yeah, and he would like do something really stupid.
Yeah.
There was a scholar a couple years ago. Hold on, let me see what his name is. It doesn't matter. Something Pool. But he was writing about him. I couldn't remember his first name, but he was like. He said this whole character, his whole, all they ever did was for years, they just frolicked on the stage, fell and farted in the background. And that was just their role. And so it was kind of like they picked this.
You say farted in the background?
Yeah.
So in the middle ages, even then their humor was just. Like they're just like, that's me. Yeah, his butt made a sound. You know, yeah. Hey. That's the enemy.
That's the enemy.
You take him serious. I'd take him more serious if his butt didn't make that funny sound.
Well, that's kind of
that's what you got to really think through. And this is what we're talking about. Like theologically, biblical principles here, we're talking like the way to beat the devil is two ways. One, you got to learn the fiddle. And two, I mean, just imagine that even the devil farts, you know? Even Satan rips one every once in a while.
Oh, my gosh.
You know? Take it back to that council meeting where he's like, hey, everybody, just had a quick idea. Everyone's like,
Satan?
He's like, don't mind that. maybe The Good Place had it right. Sorry, where he's just like a guy who's like, you know, what's up, guys? Yeah, everyone in the council is just like, what should we do about Job? I've got an idea. Like... Hey, have you ever heard of Tillin Podcast merch? That's right. We've got a full merch store of Tillin branded tees, mugs, stickers, hoodies, a lot more. And we put out new designs with every episode, but those are only available for a limited time. So you got to get those while they're hot. Text Tillin to 66866 to get access to our exclusive merchandise. So it was a comedic relief in plays.
It was comedic relief in plays. But
and then ironic, everyone was like, that's the enemy?
Well, it's ironic that you took that arc because that's kind of what happened.
Oh, and like so he was coming in trying to ruin the characters.
It wasn't always he was necessarily influencing things. He was more when things would go bad, he would appear in the background.
To show that he was like
this darkness, like, yeah, this dark figure that was kind of pulling the strings. Yeah. And then you start getting things like Dante's Inferno. Which was a big influence because he has this beast with these bat wings. He paints the picture that this is some scary, terrifying creature. And they took a lot of those parts and they personified it into their picture of this enemy devil figure. You also see it in Milton's Paradise Lost. They borrowed a bunch from that. And you also see from other characters in... just different mythology of the era. Also, even before that, in Greek and Roman mythology, they're just grabbing different things from different characters throughout theology or different mythology that are evil enemies in stories. And then all of a sudden, you end up with...
They're just mashing stuff together.
Yeah.
Well, and honestly, I mean, if it's for entertainment purposes, that makes sense because you're just trying to appeal to everyone's,
But then something happened. This had become so prevalent all over the place in the culture that somewhere along the line, and you can't really pin it down, but somewhere along the line, the cultural representation of the enemy became the Christian belief of who that enemy was.
Yeah.
And everything down from the way he acted to the way he looked, it became that is who that is.
Yeah.
And that is our enemy. And it was a very long, slow morph up until the point where we have the picture we have today of the little red guy with the horns and the pitchfork.
Pointy nose and...
Yeah.
Which is anti-Semitic.
Yeah, and weird tongue.
Yeah, the weird slithery tongue.
The weird tongue. It's just a bunch of creepy stuff that we put
just
on
the like standing the around guy. Fire pit.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of that stuff comes from most of what culture and what we think of the devil today comes from. Way after the Bible was written.
Yeah.
And then a lot of it comes from that intertestamental period where Israel was just kind of going through it and they needed a scapegoat. Like, for real, they needed someone to blame for their misfortune.
Because if you don't blame the devil, you end up like blaming each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And blaming, or blaming people. Or God. Yeah.
And so they took kind of this ancillary of all these other
amalgamation
of all these
you still
evil
said it
figures.
No, that
hey,
was
can
right.
we just can we just like overdub that, Alex? Can you just say it right over his voice?
Of all these evil
figures
from the Old Testament.
Can you also say every time he says the word figures? Can you also overdub that? Because he
just
says
overdub
figures.
Everything I say. Just take everything I say and
he
say
says
it differently.
Figures.
That's the right way. Okay, so and then they just mashed them all together. They just bashed them all together into
okay.
The Bash Brothers of Evil. And we're like, this is the one bad guy.
Yeah.
Not a lot of evidence from that, at least from the Old Testament. New Testament, you kind of get some. And so,
so we've been rolling with that since the Middle Ages.
Well, we've been rolling with the individual view of a person of evil who's tempting and deceiving us since the intertestamental period.
Okay.
So just before the New Testament was written. We've been rolling with this transformation of him into what he looks like and the way he talks and the way he acts in pop culture since the Middle Ages. That's been transforming into what it is today. But that picture of what he looks like and what he talks like and a lot of his role is not accurate at all. Take it back. Maybe there is, if you look at the New Testament, maybe there is a single individual figure who is out there deceiving us and tempting us and pulling us away. But if you look at the whole of the story, it's much more likely that there's a handful of these
figures.
So the moral of the story is...
how are you going to bring up aliens in this?
Well, there's not just one Satan. there's about a dozen Satans.
Yeah.
So better have
watch
a lot
out.
Of fiddles, I guess.
Better watch out for those dozen of... Those dozen devils.
Could I get a dozen devils?
Yes. I would love a sack of Satans, please.
Yeah, can I get a loot of Lucifers?
Oh, no. See, what? A loot?
A loot.
Oh,
a
loot.
A loot of Lucifers. Yeah, give me a lug. Give me a lug of those Lucies.
Just give me man.
Anyways, yeah, that's
an
the devil.
Enema of enemies? I don't know.
Enema of enemies.
Just...
Everyone's shaking their heads.
I was trying to go for another one. Hold on. Give me a second. Oh, here we go. An enormous amount of enemies.
Oh, there you go.
Which means you're going to need.
Can't say that one.
Anyways, so.
So you'll need a.
Here's the one thing we know from the Bible for sure. Here's the one thing we know for sure. Just before the garden event, when the serpent arrived in the garden, God and Satan in the council moment, they're in the council, and God said, I need you. Satan said, me. And God said, yes, you. It was very poetic.
Satan said, me?
Yeah. He said, I need you to take this fiddle and hold on to it for me.
Go fight Job. Go fight Job. All right. And he's like, I will.
And he did all this stuff. And God's like, No, I'm with the fiddle, man.
No.
Play him a song.
I want you to fiddle fight him.
Things I Learned Last Night is a production of Space Tim Media. Produced by Christian Taylor. Audio is edited by Alex Garnett. Video by Connor Betts. Social media is run by Caleb Walker and graphic design by Caleb Goldberg. Our hosts are Jaron Myers and Tim Stone. Please follow us on social media at Tillin Podcast. That's T-I-L-L-N Podcast. Leave a review, comment, subscribe, wherever you are. Thank you for listening to Things I Learned Last Night.